Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon ship.
The last sermon for this camp, but we were here again in the church on Sunday. Amen. Talking about prayer. Prayer is so important. How many people see the importance of prayer? How many people want to have your prayer get answered? How many people want to get result in your prayer? I want to get result. Amen. I don't want to have wasted motions of prayer. I don't want to have a vain prayer that when I just say something, but nothing happened. Let's look at this text together right now in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. If anyone among you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith, everyone say in faith, will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That is from NIV. But in Amplified, Bible say, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man make tremendous power. Everyone say tremendous. Power available. Dynamic in its working. If you want to see power on earth here, you need to know how to pray. Do you know that? It's not about the quantity of prayer. It's not about how loud the voice you make. It's not about how many people pray together. It's about the quality. It's about whether you pray in the correct way or not. Whether you pray in the biblical way or not. One man can shake the mountain if he prays correctly. Amen. You can have a bunch of people pray together, but pray without faith. And pray in the wrong way, nothing going to be done. It's about the quality of prayer. That's why we learn in this camp the effective, fruitful way of praying together. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to you something that, you know, I love something about the Holy Spirit. I used to try to disciple people, meet people, and we still disciple people. We still meet people. But I have learned something that the Holy Spirit can speak to you more than a man can do. That's why I love the presence of God. I love to welcome the glory of God to be here. Because in His glory, in His presence, the Spirit of God can speak to you more than the preacher is trying to say. Tonight, the real teacher going to speak to you. Then that is the Holy Spirit. Are you excited about that? How many people say, welcome the Holy Spirit? Speak to me tonight. Teach me tonight, the teacher. Amen. The Bible says, if you get into trouble, what you need to do? You pray. Some church member misunderstand that. They hire a pastor to pray for them. I'm not hired to pray for you. I'm not hired. I am here called by God to train you to be powerful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a trainer and you are the worker. I'm training you to go out into the nations and to pray powerfully to shake the nations. Amen. You can pray yourself. You don't need to call the pastor to pray for you. If you get into trouble, pray yourself. And you're going to get the result. And you're going to see the power of God move. Amen. Believe God for yourself. Pray to God for yourself. Don't wait for other people to pray for you. Amen. That's why the Bible says, if you are afflicted, if you are suffering, pray. Let them pray. Let us pray for that situation. Amen. But if you are too sick and too weak, thank God for the local church. You can call the elders to pray for you. Amen. I like this scripture again. I love to read this verse 17 and 18 from James chapter 5. Elijah was a man just like us. You know, the reason I keep coming back to this scripture, because I just want to build your faith. You may say, Pastor, you said this many nights already about this issue, about Elijah. But I tell you, the more you hear, the more you're going to get it. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. My dear brother, sister, I want to tell you right now that even one man or one woman pray correctly, earnestly, he is a righteous woman, a righteous man, he can change the situation on earth. You can change the situation on earth. You can change the situation in your family. You can change the situation in your church, in your workplace, in your school, if you know how to pray like Elijah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can change even the atmosphere on earth. God say in the Bible, in the book of Amos, God says something like this. In the book of Amos chapter 4, I read from verse 7. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I make it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. In other words, you can dictate the situation on earth by calling upon God. If a tornado come into the city, you can say, tornado, I command you not to touch my land. Get out of here. And that part of the land will not be hit by tornadoes. Is that, you understand what I'm talking about? You can command the atmosphere. Wow, you say, Pastor, I think you are too much. This is in the Bible. You can pray and change the atmosphere. Amen. You have that power, you have that authority if you live your life for the kingdom of God. You can tell the flood not to come into your land. You can tell the storm not to hit your house. You can tell the hurricanes not to come into your land. Amen. You can change the atmosphere by your prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Amen. It's God's will for us to pray to Him. You can speak to the weather. You can speak to the storm. You can speak to the mountain. And you can pray to the Father. Amen. Are you convinced now after 3 or 4 nights here? Are you convinced that the normal, simple people like you can dictate the situation on earth? Amen. Elijah did that, and the atmosphere was changed. Amen. I mentioned last night that God was not the one who brings sickness and disease and hurricane and tornadoes to people. Actually, what happened when people sinned, the protection of God is lifted up, and the devil will send this thing in. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So you can see that who is a destroyer? Who is a destroyer? The devil. And who is the life giver? Jesus. So as Christian, we can command the devil not to touch us. We can command the devil to take his hand away from our kids, from our church. I believe that if pastors and leaders in the church pray for members more, we will see less problem in the church, less attack in the church. We need to be praying people, prayerful people all the time. How many people promise that you're going to pray for brother and sister in the church more and more? How many people promise that you're going to pray for Pastor Wilson Church all the time? Lift him up. Lift his church up. How many people are going to pray for Arizona? Amen. Pray for Rivers of Life Church in Bangkok. Amen. We're going to pray for one another. Is it wonderful? Amen. It's wonderful that we can have brother and sister all over the world pray for one another 24 hours a day because we live in a different time zone. When you pray, we were sleeping. And when you're sleeping, we pray for you. Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to communicate one more time. Prayer is communion with God. Fellowship. When we talk about fellowship, we talk about reciprocal. You talk to God and God talk to you. Let me ask this question after you listen to many sermons. Who should do the most talking? Who knows the most? Who knows less? So who should do the most talking? So many Christians do a lot of talking to God, but never listen to God. Do you notice one thing that in the past few years, your pastor have been more quiet? Do you notice that I talk less in the past few years? I just sit and listen. I talk less. I noticed that mature Christians would talk less. They don't talk a lot. Because I noticed one thing that as Christian, we have three parts controlling us. One part is our flesh, the stomach. The feeling good, you know. A lot of Christians are controlled by their stomach, their carnality, their flesh. And a lot of times they come out to their mouth. Whatever their mouth, their body, their flesh tell them, they speak it out. Another kind of Christian controlled by their soul. Not their heart, their soul, their thinking process. Whatever they're thinking, they just keep talking. But I don't want to be those two kinds of Christian. Controlled by the stomach, controlled by the flesh. I don't want to be Christian who are controlled by the mind. We call soulish, S-O-U-L-I-S-H, soulish Christian. Talk. Talk a lot from the mind. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's why I love revival. Because when the Holy Spirit come and just touch me and control me and just marinated me, you know, I learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And as I walk in revival longer and longer, I notice that I talk less. Because whenever my mind try to say something, the Holy Spirit inside me, shut up. Don't say it. Don't speak it out from your mind. Don't speak it out from your flesh. I tell you, I'm still human being. I still have some sinful nature in me like Adam. And I tell you, sometimes my flesh tell me to say some sarcastic word out to people. Inside me, the flesh. But then the Holy Spirit inside me, shut off. Don't say it. So I sip my mouth and just smile. I'm not going to say those things. I'm not going to curse people. I'm not going to sarcast people. I'm not going to say negative thing and curse people. Amen. Hallelujah. Why I go that direction? I don't understand. Oh, so I'm saying that you don't talk too much, but you listen to God a lot. Mature Christian pray by listening and say only what God wants to say. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Hallelujah. I noticed that a lot of us here become more quiet in the past few years. Because you become more mature. I remember some of you, when you first came into the church, you just keep talking. But lately, I noticed that you talk less. Amen. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't talk to people over God's shoulder. You know, pretense and foulness make the wall between you and God. God doesn't like insincerity. You remember the Bible says we need to worship God in spirit. And in truth. We need to be truthful. So if you try to talk to somebody, Father in heaven, please help us to come on time, for example. Actually, the pastor is not praying to the Father. The pastor is trying to pray, try to talk to the member over the shoulder of God. Please help them to come on time. But actually, I'm telling you to come on time. That is not prayer. That is talking to people over the shoulder of God. And God will not accept that. Amen. Be sincere. If you want to talk to God, I mean, if I want to talk to you, I should come to your face and look at your eyes and directly talk to you. Honey, or beloved, could you please come on time? I should not use prayer to talk to you. You understand what I mean? Some people use prophecy to talk to other people. It's not a prophecy. Actually, it's the way to talk to people. So be careful. Amen. Everyone say genuine. Everyone say sincere. If you're going to talk to God, talk to God. Don't play game. Don't use God's name to talk to other people. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 verse 6 say, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, when you talk to God, talk to the Father, talk sincerely with Him. Don't try to show off. Don't use vain repetitions. Amen. What do you feel if I come to you? I come to Kun Vira and I say, Vira, 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 Vira. I am Pastor Lau, Pastor Lau, Pastor Lau. How are you? How are you? How are you? And I turn away. And I turn back, Vira, Vira, Vira. I'm Pastor Lau, Pastor Lau, Pastor Lau. How are you? How are you? How are you? And I walk away. You think he's going to accept that conversation? No. A lot of Christians are like that. They just talk to God like a formula. They just talk to God with vain repetitions. They just memorize some scripture and just quote scripture. But they don't really talk to God. They just use vain repetitions. And God warned us that we should not do that. Amen. I'm reviewing the teaching right now. Amen. Hallelujah. And verses 7 and 8. When you talk to God, you need to know that you really talk to God, not talking to other people. Verse 7 and 8 say, when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Tonight we're going to talk about asking. God say that, in fact, when you tell God your need, let me ask this question. Do you think God is surprised? God is not surprised at all when you tell Him your needs. He knows already before you tell Him. Amen? He knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows your need. He knows that you're going to come and ask Him certain things. And God say, don't even use a lot of words, babbling, talk a lot. You know, I notice that sometimes Christians pray, long pray. Hallelujah. Father in heaven. And keep talking and talking for 10 minutes, thinking and hoping that the longer you pray, the louder voice you make, God going to listen to you. I want to tell you right now, God is not hard of hearing. God doesn't have deaf ear. God is easy to understand you. You notice one thing, that only one time that Jesus prayed a long prayer in the Bible is John 17. That He actually, at that time, He was really fellowshipping with the Father. But a lot of time when Jesus prayed, He said, be healed. Father, show your glory. Lazarus, come out. He didn't have a long prayer. Because the Father know His heart. He just asked two sentences, one phrase, done. So don't try to impress God with long, long prayers. Amen. Be careful, because sometimes you don't impress God, you try to impress other people that you pray very well. Amen. I want to tell you this. The majority is not always right. So when you pray, you just agree with God. If other people don't agree with you, it's their problem, but you agree with God. God doesn't need a lot of people to agree with Him. Just one person agree with Him, He can make it happen. He can perform miracle. Amen. It's not about how many people pray correctly. It's not about how loud your voice. It's not about how many words you say. It's about your relationship with God, your communion with God, and you have faith, and you speak to Him sincerely, and know that He is listening to you. Amen. Are you learning something tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the corporate prayer. When we come into corporate prayer, a lot of people come together. This is important. We need to be in unity. We need to have one mind. We need to be in one accord. Because the quality of prayer is more important than the quantity of prayer. Amen. You don't need to tell God thousands of times what you need. You can tell Him a few times and then keep thanking Him. He already heard. And just have faith and believe you get it. You don't need to tell Him 1,000 times about what you need. God is not forgetful. God is not forgetful. Amen. You tell Him one time, He's not forgetful. He remember what you say. Amen. Remember that God is not forgetful. What you need to do is this, that. You come to Him and you let Him know what you need and ask Him what you need in Jesus' mighty name. And have faith and receive by faith. Faith is important. It's not about how much you pray, how long you pray, but it's about faith. If you pray in faith, God will hear and God will answer. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 to 11 together. Matthew 8 to 11 together. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. You can see here that Jesus said, come and ask. But don't use God's name in vain. Hallowed be thy name. When you come to God and you use the name of Jesus Christ, you need to revere, you need to honor the name of Jesus. Amen. You don't use name in vain. And when you pray, you ask Him. You ask in faith. Why we need to ask God even though God knows that what we need? How many people know? Isn't it amazing? He said, come and ask me. And I already know your need. Why? We need to ask God. And God commands us to ask. This is the law that God put in the Bible. If you don't ask, you don't have. Even though God knows your need. Because I want to tell you, there is a legal thing between God and man. There is a legality of asking God. Amen. You remember when God created Adam and Eve? God gave Adam authority, and it's not a false authority, it's a real authority to rule and have dominion over the earth. And what happened to Adam? Adam messed it up. Adam gave the authority to the devil. And God in heaven say, because I already gave authority to Adam, I'm not gonna fix this in heaven by me. Because if I fix it, I override his authority. Listen carefully. God did not sit in heaven and say, okay, I'm gonna fix it for you. No. Because man or mankind or human being messed it up, we need a man to fix it. To resolve it. How he used a man to fix it? He sent Jesus Christ. He stripped off his authority, his glory, and his power, be born in the human form, and as a full human, he fixed the problem for mankind. As a man, not as God. As a man, he died and purchased the authority back to us. So we are actually, in the sense, the God of this world. As Christian, we have authority to rule and reign on earth. Before we became a Christian, the devil is our God. He rule and reign over us. But now we become a Christian. Christ Jesus come into our life, the man who died for us, our mediator. Now we have that authority through Christ Jesus. Is that right? So God sit in heaven, and this earth belong to us. He give us authority. He said, I will not do anything, even though I can do it, until you give me the legal right to do it. It's about legality. It's like when you go to the government, you need to fill up the paper. And fill up the paper in the correct way before you get some answer from the government. The same thing, in order to get answer from God, you need to ask Him to give Him the permission to do something on earth here. You understand what I'm talking about here? The Bible says clearly that if you don't ask, you don't have. Many times God rebuked me. Sometimes I was naughty. I complained to God. Oh, God, I don't have this in the church. You know, God. And God said, it's not my fault because you don't ask me. That's why you don't have it in your church. So I begin to ask. I begin to become like asking a lot. I ask all the time because I know if I ask, I get something from God. So I need to keep asking. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 10, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? The word ask in the Greek language means to call for, to require. You need to call from heaven. I want this. I need this in Jesus' mighty name. Don't sit around doing nothing. Don't be controlled by circumstances. You can control circumstances. Amen. Christians are not controlled by circumstances. We control circumstances because we can ask God to change the circumstances in our life. Amen. We live a supernatural life. We have authority. We rule and we reign as king on earth right now. God gives us authority over us, around in our realm of authority. I have authority in this church. I have authority in my home. I don't have authority in another church. So whoever in this church, I have authority to command the devil to go out of you. Amen. That's why people have to come to the altar to be prayed for. Why they need to come here and get lay hand on. Because when you walk out to be prayed for here, you are showing God that I surrender to the authority of this man. But if you sit on a chair like this, if you are good, come to my chair here and pray for me. With that kind of attitude, you are telling me that I'm not surrendered to your authority. It's hard for God to move in your life if you have that attitude. You need to come and surrender and say, I surrender to his authority. And then God can move through the man of God. You understand what I'm talking about? Do you notice that Jesus did not cast every demon in every city? Jesus could cast demons only those who come to him and surrender to his authority. Isn't it amazing? That's why we don't walk around and cast out demons everywhere. We only cast out demons to whoever that come to you and surrender to the name of Jesus under the authority God gave to you. We cannot just walk on the street and cast out any demon. If you don't do the asking, you are not going to receive. You need to ask. James chapter 4 verse 2, the Bible says, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. One part of the prayer is to ask whatever you need in your life. Amen. Look at another scripture about asking. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I heard people, Christian, always say like this. Oh, somebody agree with me. Oh, my wife agree with me about this request. Thank God she agree with me. I tell you, that kind of comment is not biblical. And you all say, what, pastor? You say, they don't agree with me, it's not biblical? It's not biblical. To be biblical is this. My wife agree with me that we're going to see this happen in our home, and we nail down together and we ask God. Let's look at the Bible again one more time. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything, and did the Bible stop there? Concerning anything that they ask. This is about anything. If I and Pastor Das kneel down together and agree, we need to both ask together. When you come to the prayer line for healing, that is agreement. You agree, I agree. I ask and you ask God together, heal! And healing happen. It's agreement and asking together. Amen. If you want to get the fire of God, you come and stand here. I say, fire! I want fire for you. And you agree with me? Yes, fire! You agree, God give you. Amen. It's about agreement between two persons, and we both ask together. That's why one preacher told me this. When you get people to the prayer line, this is the way you do. I learned from him, and I like that. He said, when people come out, tell them to ask God what they want. And you agree with them, and then they close their eyes, look at heaven, lift up your hand, and surrender to God. That is the sign that I surrender, I expect, and I agree with the preacher who's going to lay hand on me. It's about agreement, and they ask God together. Don't come to the prayer line without asking God. Don't just come here and say, whatever, God, you know, whatever. No, you ask. Ask God. Agree with the preacher. Agree with the pastor or the minister. Amen. You agree together that you ask. This is a law that God set up in the earth here that we need to ask God. You put requests into God. Amen. Whatever you need, you ask God. What do you need? Wisdom? How many people need wisdom? You need wisdom? Look at the Bible say, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Do you need wisdom? How many people need wisdom every day? I need wisdom every day. I even need wisdom to talk to my wife so that I will not get into trouble. Or the husband say, you say wrong, you get into trouble. You sleep outside on the couch. You need to ask wisdom. I'm just kidding. My wife never do that to me. She's so nice. Amen. We need wisdom every day. How many people need money? You don't need money? How many people need money? How many people need good health? How many people need strength? How many people need joy? How many people need to sleep well at night? How many people need to see your kids love God and do well? How many people need success?
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.